Turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, familiar passage, but we're going to treat it in a way this morning, by way of introduction, in a way that I haven't preached it before. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 31. It's right in the middle of a context, something Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples, but it really does address something that we have to deal with in our own lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And usually, within 5 minutes of finishing the sermon, or right within 5 minutes of either side of finishing the sermon, those thoughts begin to cross your mind. I remember when we were first started in the ministry of the kids, two seconds after the pulpit, I'm walking down there, they come right up to me, so what are we going to eat, Dad? Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What are we going to talk about today based on this passage of Scripture is this simple topic. Declutter your life. If we could have Jake come sing the invitation, I think we're on to something here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're very thankful today for the opportunity to come before your throne and pray. How desperately we need to see you today. Father, we'll see in this text some areas of our lives that really we're all affected in our spiritual life and in our physical life. And I'm asking you, please, to help us, Father, to receive what we're hearing, to live by what we're hearing, to make changes in our lives according to what we're hearing. And I pray, Father, this will solve a problem in someone's life today, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, in this passage of Scripture, one of the things he's telling the disciples is, he said, don't clutter your life with thoughts about all the things that Gentiles think about, the stuff we think about, food and raiment, drink, and that kind of stuff. He tells them in another place when he's giving them the commission to go out, he says to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread nor money, neither have two coats apiece. In other words, travel light. Travel light. And there are other places where you see that. When somebody came to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, well, come see where I hang out. I don't even have a home. Foxes have holes and birds there have nests. I don't have a place where to lay my head. Very uncluttered life. Now, I'm not telling you to go to that extreme. But I'll tell you something. We do live cluttered lives. I was talking to Joel Logan the other day, a pastor in Ardmore, Alabama, a good friend, and he's been here to preach before a couple of times. And he had the opportunity recently to preach a revival up in Canada. Now, there was a lot of prayer that went into the preparation for that meeting up there. But that pastor and the church agreed they were going to cut some things out of their lives during that week of preaching so they could really concentrate on the preaching of the Word of God. And he said, I saw the Spirit of God move in that revival in a way that I don't recall that I've ever seen him move before. We got to the end of that thing. He told me some things that God did in that meeting that were not provoked or prompted by man. You know, if you got a man that's fairly evangelistic, he can make things sort of happen if he has that type of personality. This was not that at all. And he said one of the key elements to why that meeting turned out that way by the end is simply that as that the folks had gotten some things out of their lives and they could really concentrate on the preaching of the Word of God. We in our home, we're going through a process of decluttering right now. It's a painful experience. My wife said, if you can ever find somebody to help me declutter, I'll do it. Well, I found somebody, and I've been hearing about it ever since. Because what you have to do is you have to get rid of a lot of unnecessary stuff, but you wouldn't have had it this long if you didn't think that it was necessary. And so the trouble comes with having to make those decisions about what to get rid of and what to keep, and then of the stuff you keep, how to organize that stuff so that you can actually function with it. You know, we're Americans. You know what you have is a storage unit. That's how you deal with your clutter. You just put it over there. I want to keep it, but I can't use it. I don't know how to deal with it, so let's store it. It only costs us $100 a month. Praise God. In our lives, we have clutter, and that clutter affects. I'm not talking about you got too many clothes in your closet. You do, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about some areas that affect your life spiritually and my life spiritually. You know what we need to do? We need to do some decluttering. Let me talk to you today about some areas, and we'll look at some other verses of Scripture. First of all, you need to deal with your spiritual clutter. If you were in Sunday school this morning, we looked at this verse of Scripture. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and look at verse 1. You need to deal with your spiritual clutter. It is amazing to me how much spiritual clutter there is in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says this, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Notice there is filthiness in the spirit. There's clutter in the spirit. There is clutter in your life that affects your spirit. Now you're a multi-component individual. The spirit is one part of you. We studied that in great detail this morning in Sunday school. But when there is clutter, spiritual clutter in your life, you know what happens? The work that the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life is diminished or minimized. The work that is done in your life through preaching is minimized because you've got too many things affecting your spirit. Now, I'll give you a couple of descriptions. Some of you guys have weather apps on your telephones or you have a weather channel of some sort on your computer. And there's a radar. And some of those radars are sensitive. And they detect some sort of what they call clutter around Corpus Christi a lot, as if you're getting ready to have rain. And the truth of the matter is, that's not rain at all. It's turbulence that's created by the wind farm, that's created by the windmills. But it appears on your screen as if there might be some cloud cover there. And that's called clutter, if I understand correctly. So it's showing something, but it's noise. It's not rain. Well, you know something? You've got noise in your life right now, spiritual noise in your life right now that is affecting the work of the Holy Spirit to be able to get to your heart and your mind with the very things that you're hearing. And it's spiritual clutter. And one of the things that the Lord has offered to us to deal with that spiritual clutter is fasting and prayer. If you've ever fasted before, and many of you have, and not just for medical reasons, I realize when the doctor tells you you can't have anything to eat or drink after midnight because you're going to do a blood test at 7 o'clock in the morning, for some of you that is hard to do. I'm not talking about that little 7-hour fast. I'm talking about, you know, some days and a little time in fasting and prayer. If you've ever done that, what you've noticed is that there is a sharpening of your sensitivity to the reading of the Word of God, to the reception to preaching, and to the spiritual influences of the Spirit of God in your life. Your spiritual life wakes up. You get rid of the clutter. Am I right about that? Yeah. Several of you are nodding with me. Absolutely. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. So our minds get cluttered, or our spirits get cluttered with things going on around us. Listen, the devil likes that. If you're here today and you're not saved yet, you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have spiritual clutter going on right now. As I'm preaching, you are being distracted. As I'm preaching, there are things going on in your head to negate what you're hearing right now. A lot of times when a person is lost and there's preaching going on, their mind is already debating the validity and the verity of the things being preached by the preacher. Well, why? Because the Spirit of God is trying to convince you that you're lost and that you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and the devil is blinding you to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you don't get saved. And literally, there are people at times, some of you who have a spiritual sensitivity about the work of the Holy Spirit, you know that God is working. There are people that walk out of here that are lost sometimes, and it's just like they've been to something else. Like there was no effect on them at all. It didn't appear to be. Spiritual clutter. Spiritual clutter. And so in our lives, what we need to do is we need to get rid of all of those things that inhibit the clear work of the Spirit of God in our lives. I'm just talking about necessarily the same thing in one person's life as it is in another person's life. But I'll tell you, you can usually see it affecting your prayer life, and you can see it affecting your Bible reading. Your life is cluttered up, and these things that are very important become very unimportant in your life. That's spiritual clutter. And it's not just a matter of exercising yourself in the discipline of reading the Bible and praying, but there are other things going on that are compelling your spirit away from the Lord. And I can't address the specific areas of your life. I can address them in my life, but I don't want to sit here and tell you. It's a personal matter. We have to work those things out between the work of God and the Spirit of God. A lot of times spiritual clutter is manifested in disobedience. A lot of times it's manifested in you just really never get any clear direction from God whatsoever. Have you ever talked on a telephone that has a lot of static in the line, or tried to listen to a radio station when you're just on the edge of the range and there's a lot of static in the line and you're straining with everything to try to hear what's coming across? That's noise. That's noise. When you have to strain to that degree to hear the work of the Spirit of God, you've got spiritual clutter in your life and you need to get it out. You say, well, how do I identify it? I say that one of the best things to do is spend some time in fasting and prayer and simply say, Lord, search me. Identify in my life the spiritual clutter so that I can begin to remove that noise from my life and I can begin to hear you more. All right, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll look at this. You need not only to deal with the spiritual clutter, Colossians chapter 3, you need to deal with the devotional clutter in your life. Everything's going to be a something-ul. Spiritual, devotional. Okay, so if you're trying to say, well, how do I outline this? Just look for the uls. You need to deal with the devotional clutter in your life. Colossians chapter 3, look at verses 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Watch it. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. All right, so your devotional clutter, this is clutter that affects your soul. Spiritual clutter affects your spirit. Devotional clutter affects your soul. You need to sit down, take some time, and honestly consider everything that you deeply love in your life. Now, that's a hard thing to do. It is good, but it's a hard thing to do. Because what's going to come up is you're going to find that you deeply love something that you think God tells you that you shouldn't love, and you say, well, I don't love it that much. And you're not being honest with yourself because you really do love it that much. And I'll tell you, you need to look very carefully at the things you deeply love, and you either need to eliminate them if there are things that you shouldn't be loving, or you need to reprioritize them if they are things that cause you to love them more than you love the Lord. And listen to yourself as you speak. I know we all use this phraseology, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A guy says, man, I love to fish. Listen to what you just said. Listen to what you just said. You say, I love to fish. I love to fish. I know some guys that love fishing more than they love their wives. You say, how do you know that? Because they spend more time fishing than they do with their wives. I'm not, if I just ran you up a tree, there are other guys in here. There are some guys that love hunting more than they love their wives. Usually, Usually between the first weekend of November and the middle of January. Now don't get on your husband when he goes to take one trip. Okay? He's thinking about you while he's gone, believe me. Just have to take my word on that one. Amen? There are all kinds of things that we love in our lives that we don't want to admit. But the Lord points some out. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. You don't have to have a lot of it to love it, but boy, there are some people that love it and it has wrecked their relationship with the Lord. There are some people that, I'm not going to run down the list. I said something about hunting and fishing just because I like to do both of those things. I used to love to do them, but this morning I've decided I only like to do them. It works better for the sermon that way. Amen? We're no different, folks. We've all got these things in our lives that become little idols in our hearts. But what they do is they affect our soul's relationship with the Lord. Listen, anything that competes with your love for the Lord God is clutter in your life. And you've got to declutter it. You've got to reprioritize it, or you've got to get it out of your life. Because it's a real, real inhibition to you being able to set your affections on things above. You can tell when people are that way, when their affections really set on. They don't have to fake it. They don't have to fake it. They don't love their health more than they love heaven. They find out that they got a health problem and it may take their lives and they're like, okay, maybe that's where I'm going. Now, if you're going through a health problem, I know it's a very serious matter for you and you're devoting a lot of attention to getting it fixed if it can be fixed. That's what we do. But when we love our health so much that we're afraid to die, then what's that? We like living our Christian life down here more than we like the thought of living our Christian life in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a good thing. Why? Because you're going to punch out one day. We all are. And boy, I want to see him. That's what that song was about. I really do want to see him. So deal with your devotional clutter. Here's another area of your life. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15. Deal with your spiritual clutter. Proverbs chapter 15. Deal with your devotional clutter. And deal with your, here it is, emotional clutter. Your emotional clutter. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, 14, and 15. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Oh, that's coming. Excuse me. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Now, you're seeing this thing, the comparison between a merry heart and a sorrowful heart. You see that? A merry heart and a sorrowful heart, or a merry heart that has a continual feast. Listen, we're saved. And God has adopted us into His family and He's made us accepted in the Beloved. But it's an amazing thing to me in all the years of being in the ministry, how many Christians after they get saved deal with emotional clutter. And what this is it's not clutter that affects your spirit. It's not clutter that affects your soul, although they may be related. The primary area that affects is it affects your heart. It affects your heart. This is the area of your life where you've got to learn to live without that famous word, baggage. So he says, yeah, I met this great girl, boy, and I tell you what, I think we could really hit it off. She came with a lot of baggage. Well, why don't you step back just a minute and see how many bags there are. There's a weight limit on this plane. Man, they charge for oversized, overweight bags. And you're going to pay a price with this baggage. Let me tell you something. You need to quit running back through the same sets of emotional stresses, regrets, hurts, pains, missed expectations, and past experiences. You need to quit going back there. They already happened. The curtain closed. They already did their encore. Everybody's gone home. You're the only one in the theater. The actors are gone. All of the patrons are gone. You're in there by yourself. You're reenacting a stage show that is done. Close the chapter. Go home. Y'all like it in that theater. He said, well, you just don't know how bad it was, preacher. Yeah, but it's done. The end. I say, well, I know, but I feel bad. That's your emotional clutter. You're supposed to feel good. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'd be doing real good if it wasn't for life.
So you want to die? Oh, I'm scared to death to die. I want to keep on living like this. All chapped and rubbed and burned and wounded and upset. How long ago did that happen to you? 15 years, but it was just like yesterday. Man, you haven't had anything good happen to you since then? Not one joyous occasion since then? No, everything's colored by my past. I'm so regretful and ashamed of all those horrible things that happened to me when I was little or so many years ago. Can you make that auto harp sound like a violin? May I tell you something? And I don't mean to be rude. I know it was painful. I've been hurt. Yeah. Believe it or not, I had emotional distresses in my life. And I believe it or not, I've gone back there to try to reopen the theater too. All those cobwebs and everything. Anybody in here? And let me tell you something. You are wasting your time. And you are wasting your emotional energy. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to go back and relive that thing and have it turn out differently than it did. And it's not going to turn out any differently because it's over. I know, but if I'd have just caught that pass, we'd have won that game. Well, you didn't catch that pass. And you didn't win the game. You lost! Go play another game! I know, but I want to go back and play that game. And I want it to come out differently. It won't! It's over! Your ticket was only good from 8 o'clock at night to 10:30. 10 years ago. September the 23rd. Just, you know, I don't even pin it on your dartboard anymore. Just throw it in the trash. And move on. You know why you don't move on? Because you don't want to move on. You like your little pity party. You love that. If you, listen, God has given you every tool in the Bible to move on from that, but you don't because you set the tea set and the tea is still hot and you want some guests to come in there and have a little pity party with you. Oh, you just can't believe what it was like. Would you like to hear my story? Such a bad thing that happened to me. Oh, it was just awful. And you're like, oh my God. Can we not move on? You see, listen. You say you're ridiculing my life. I'm not ridiculing your life. It was a very sad episode. I agree with you about that. And it hurt very badly. I don't agree with you about that. But that doesn't define the rest of your life. That's just one piece. And as a matter of fact, if you'll put it in God's hand and get over the emotional distress of it, you may find out that Romans 8:28 is true. And that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. And that's just a piece of the recipe to get you where God wants you to be today. He doesn't want you to live back there. So you got to get rid of the emotional clutter. You have to adapt that and say, okay, that's part of who I am. We go on from there, but I'm not going to live back there. Listen, what happens to that emotional clutter is simply this. It dominates your heart so you can't feel the joy, you can't feel the peace, and you can't feel the contentment of your spiritual life. And your spiritual life ought to be filled with joy and peace and contentment. Because they all come from the Spirit of God. Well, let's move on. We're having such a good time here today. You're in Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse 14. Right in the middle of the things we looked at. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. That's what you're doing here today. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Alright, so you gotta deal with your spiritual clutter, your devotional clutter, your emotional clutter. So, man, this is a big, I got a lot of emptying to do. Yeah, I know you do. And we're like halfway. You gotta deal with your informational clutter. The mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. You have to deal with your informational clutter. What are you talking about? This is clutter that affects your mind. Listen, your mind only has so much capacity, and the Bible tells us that here are the things you need to think on in Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, if I've got them in the right order. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are a good report, think on these things. And you can't do that when you clutter your mind with news and tweets and social networks and gossip and all this non-essential information. Amen. You can't. Because those things have a draw on them. It's like, hurry up, preacher, and get done with this because I'm expecting somebody to reply to my Facebook post and I want to see what they said. Concentrate on God. I bet you. I'm not a betting man, so I won't bet you. But if I were a betting man, I bet you couldn't spend 24 hours a day away from information, news, television, internet, social media, tweets and twacks and twitters and whatever they call all that stuff. And newspapers and magazines. I bet you. You couldn't spend 24 hours away from it. You would be nuts in 24 hours. Oh my God. They're going to think I died because I didn't reply in 5 minutes to that email. Oh, what am I going to do? And God's over there going, would you just think about, I can't think about you right now. I got to think about what they're doing over there. This is important stuff. They had an earthquake in Nepal. This is important. Come on, God, don't you understand? He said, well, think about me. I knew about that before it happened. I sent him an email 6 hours ago. And they still haven't replied. I wonder if it's because they don't love me anymore. Oh, my God. Oh. I'm going to have to send him another email. And I'll try to convey it in such a way that they don't think that I'm really thinking that our friendship is all destroyed and everything. But I tell you what, if they've been gossiping so and so, I'll tell you what, if they email that person and they had something, I'm going to go up next time I see that person, I'll tell you, I'm going to just tell them how I feel about it. And God's over there, think about me. I can't. Not right now, God. Well, it's important. This is my best friend. Settle down. See, I could do it 24 hours. I bet you couldn't do it a week. You're getting nervous, aren't you? Pastor's going to call for a week of fasting from. From time to time. You know, went to that Capital Connection thing, so I came back, and so now you got all these guys that are already throwing their hats in the ring to run for President of the United States. Oh, I wonder how Rand Paul compares to Ted Cruz. You know, Ted's pretty much for biblical values. How does he compare? You know what happens to you when you start looking into that stuff? This is innocuous. This is just kind of stuff you just want to find out what's going on so you can be an informed voter, right? You know what? It poisons your mind. You say, well, we got to know what's going on. You got to know what God knows is going on. And the thing is, you start in there to take a look at that stuff. And I'm not telling you to be ignorant. Listen to me. You start in there and you look at the clock when you start and you go in there and get the news you think you need for the day to make sure you're caught up. And an hour later, your nose is still in there looking for that stuff. And you're spending how much time in your Bible each day? Now you understand what I'm talking about? You've got to deal with your informational clutter. It is affecting your relationship with the Lord. I'm not telling you to be ignorant. I'm telling you, you got to declutter. Because there's not very much God running around in your mind, and there's a whole lot of that other stuff running around in there. Amen? Where are we? Oh, we're having such a good time. You can't wait till we see the next one. Turn to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. You're going to love this. If you love those, you're going to love this. I promise you. You know what? I'm just figuring if we're going to throw it all out, we might as well deal with it all at once. Amen. Just get it over with. I went to the doctor for a physical and he told me everything in my life is wrong with me. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel's in school. He's captive, but he's going to do good. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 12, he told him, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. So they cut out the T-bone steaks and the red wine, and they ate oatmeal and drank water. More or less. And, you know, that's dull. That's not very pleasurable to the appetite, but after 10 days, verse 15 says, at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which eat the portion of the king's meat. They were doing better on the new diet. So you got to get rid of something else, your nutritional clutter. You're thinking, you know, you would. I was doing okay on the other ones, but now you're telling me I got to deal with my what? Your nutritional clutter. You just mind your own business, preacher. What I do with my life outside of church is strictly up to me. I go to whatever restaurant I want to and I eat whatever I want to. Mind your stinking business. This clutter affects your body. And your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know the Bible says you're bought with a price, you're not your own, therefore glorify God in your, help me with the next word, body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Now you need to take a careful look at what you eat and drink. Because the Bible says whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And he mentions eat and drink. Matthew chapter 6 dealt with eating and drinking. So take a look at what you're eating and drinking and eliminate the bad nutritional fuel. Do you drive a car? I know you drive cars. How you got here? We don't have a bus ministry. Unless you rode your bicycle or walked. You drove. Now, when you go to the gas station and they've got, and you're driving a gasoline engine vehicle and they offer you gasoline and they offer you diesel, do you traditionally put gasoline in there? What would happen if you put diesel in there? Bad fuel, right? Likewise, if you're driving a diesel and you put gasoline in there, what happens? Doesn't work. Why? Bad fuel. You know what happens when you put the wrong fuel in your body? Chug, plum, chum, pa, tum, plum. Of course, you don't see it because you don't call it bad food. You know what you call it? You call it comfort food. That's what you call it. Amen. But I thought the Holy Spirit was supposed to be the comforter. Boy, it gets, you know, they laugh a little bit and then they go, oh, it just gets so quiet. I'll tell you what, every person I know that has dealt with the nutritional clutter in their lives all say the same thing. I feel so much better. That's what they all say. So if it's comfort food, how can it be comforting if you say when you get rid of it, I feel so much better? Well, you meant to say it comforted you through an emotional distress. Well, get rid of the emotional clutter and you can get rid of the nutritional clutter. See how these things all start working hand in hand? You say, I don't like this sermon a bit. I wish I hadn't come today. Well, you're here, so enjoy. I'll tell you something, when you feel good, you can do more for the Lord. I've noticed that too. I really have. So deal with the nutritional clutter in your life. You want some more? Oh, sure, why not? Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Where are we? We're good. I got a minute. No. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple. Look at this. At the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So whatever they were doing, they dropped it because it was the hour of prayer. The hour of prayer. We sing it, sweet hour of prayer, right? Okay. Today it's like sweet minute and a half of prayer, sweet minute and a half of prayer. Amen. Went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. They didn't go and just pray an hour. They went at a particular hour, which was the ninth hour. That's when they went and prayed. Okay? You go over there and you read Daniel. We're not going to go back there. Daniel chapter 6. And there's a decree. He's not supposed to pray. And he went in there and he prayed three times a day. David, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. So he had a set time that he did this stuff. Alright, so what do you gotta do? You gotta deal with your organizational clutter. You gotta deal with your organizational clutter. This is clutter that affects your day. Okay? Spiritual clutter affects your spirit. Devotional clutter affects your soul. Emotional clutter affects your heart. Informational clutter affects your mind. Nutritional clutter affects your body. Organizational clutter affects your day. And your ability to finish what God wants you to do. Now, you know, there was a time when I ran off of a list that could never be done. It was driving myself crazy, so I threw it away. Then I just, none. Well, if you don't have anything to do, you don't do anything. So, now I've got what I call a skeleton of what my week ought to look like. And you know something? It works very well because it's easy to be flexible when you know what you're supposed to be doing. Somebody says, hey, you want to go do this and got this other stuff to do? I said, I would, but I can't right now. I got these things to take care of. Or I've done those things. Yeah, I'll go. So it's easier to work with it when you know what you're supposed to do. You know what I'm supposed to do? Two things. Ministry of the Word and prayer. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. They gave themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. I've got a job description. It's right in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? And so those are the things that are preeminent of my day, every day, that need to be done. So what I need to do then is I need to get rid of all the other stuff that is keeping me from my essential duties. If I can't do those two things, there's something in the schedule that needs to go. Do you understand that? Now, the ministry of the Word is not just a matter of studying it. It's not just a matter of reading it for a guy that's in the ministry. It's also a process of ministering it. What are we doing right now? I'm preaching. This is the ministry of the Word. There's another way to minister the Word, and that's where you and I get together, and I give you some counsel or something from the Scripture or some encouragement. And in my life, I noted that the opportunity to visit with folks individually was being diminished. You know what I had to do? Get rid of the organizational clutter so that those things the Lord wanted me to do, I could do. Do you understand that? You're the one in charge of that. If you don't have the time to do something, then you're the one that fixes that time because time is always a matter of what you choose to do with it. I don't want to take responsibility for that. You don't know the boss I have. He doesn't work you 24 hours a day. Well, he would if he could. Well, he's not. Some of that time is your time. Are we right? Okay, just stay with me. You're loving this so much. I'm just loving it with you. Let's look at one more. Make it a perfect 7. As long as you love me so much for being so nice to you today, I figured I might as well just seal it all right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 4. You say, why preacher, are you just knocking all these things down? Because I've had to knock them down in my own life. I'm not saying that I knocked a perfect score, but I know that I have to deal with these. And I wouldn't recommend it to you if I hadn't done it in my own life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, traitors, heady-minded, here it is, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You have to deal with your recreational clutter. Amen. We are there. Americans live on pleasure. You have to deal with your recreational clutter. This is a clutter that affects your life. You need to evaluate how you spend your spare time. How do you spend your spare time? With entertainment, with amusement, with pleasure. The reason a lot of people only give God 1 hour a week every so often is that your life is cluttered with recreational stuff. You ain't got time. I agree with you. You need R&R. I like it. But a little bit goes a long way. As we said this morning in Sunday school, you refresh your spirit in a prayer meeting here on Wednesday night a whole lot better than you do with your feet propped up drinking tea watching Bonanza. Amen. Or whatever it is you watch. That's what we used to watch. Do you understand? Americans love pleasure. Yeah, we got a society that's built on pleasure. And when that begins to clutter your life so you don't have time for God, you got too much recreational clutter. And you need to get rid of some things. It's an amazing thing, but if you deal with all these things we've talked about, I'm not going to recount the list, you wrote them down. If you deal with all those things in your life, you know what you find out? I feel better. I have more time. My relationship with the Lord is better. I'm actually doing what God wants me to do. You say, well, boy, that's going to take a lot of time. Yeah, to declutter always takes a lot of time. And it also takes a lot of effort. But it pays off with huge benefits as you start accomplishing more for God and you derive more pleasure and delight from the things that you do for God. You know why people don't want to get saved a lot of times? They don't want God messing with this. You know why saved people don't change a lot of times? Because they don't want God messing with this. Let God mess with it. He knows how to run your life a whole lot better than you do. And where you've got clutter, get rid of it. Get rid of it. You'll be a lot happier when you're done. Amen? Father, we're thankful today for an opportunity to look in the Scripture and see what we find here. It's a very simple little lesson with very profound implications for our lives. And I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us with it. We've tried to make some light of it and enjoy the time together. But it's testy. We don't like people messing with our lives and talking bad about the things we do. It's just the way it is. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, listen, I didn't preach the gospel today. I'm trying to help Christians here. I say I'm trying to. This is what the Lord gave me to preach, and I believe it's to help our folks here. If you came here today and you're not saved, we are concerned for your soul, though we didn't preach the gospel today. And I want to tell you something. Normally on Sunday morning, we will preach a portion of our message with the gospel. But if you came here today heavily burdened about your soul and you desperately needed to hear about Jesus Christ and how He could change your life and save your soul and secure your eternity in heaven, we want you to know that we have people here prepared every time we meet to deal with the lost about their souls. I just want to ask you, as a courtesy to you, did anybody come here today heavily burdened about their souls, wanting to talk to somebody about how to be saved? If you did, would you just raise your hand and put it back down so I'll know to put you in touch with Randy and Maureen at the end of the service so y'all can visit about your soul? Anybody like that? Okay, just wanted to be sure. Father, thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. I thank you, Father, that you've taught me some valuable lessons about the matters that we've covered today. They're very, very important, and I pray our folks will take them importantly, because they really do make a significant difference in our relationship with you. It's something we'll have to deal with all the time, and I ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.